Last week, the Ramchal was making the point, he said towards where we left off, that a person has to be a medagdeg, the shoykel drochot v'ayoyim b'yoyimoy. The person basically has to keep cheshbon on a daily basis. And he said, Aloshin, he said, kasoychim hagdoilim, like the astute business people, people who are successful in business. And the reason is because they always keep an eye on their business. And that, in fact, should be the same way, he says, in one's spiritual career as well. Another point that Ramchal made was that regarding the discussion whether it is toibu el yodam shenivra yoysim shenivra, whether it's in fact better that a person was created than if not, or it is better or it is not better, and the conclusion in the Chazal was that is toibu el yodam cheloi nivra yoysim shenivra, and the question was, what is the practical napkimina? Why is it negay, or how is it negay to us? But whether it is better if man was created or not. And it was pointed out that we mentioned from Rav Kreisler, he said, because the fact that we realize the conclusion is that it would be better for man not to be created, that means because the risk is so great that the profit of Olam Haba is not really worth it. The idea is because that gives us the perspective of how dangerous for our spiritual lives this world is, that the risk is so great that even though the ultimate reward if you succeed is so great to the point that we cannot even comprehend it, what Olam Haba is, and yet if we come to the conclusion that it's not worth it, that Toivu Lo'odim Shel'Nivra means that we have to keep reviewing over and over again how great the risks are. And that's why this is what we gain by knowing this. As a result, once we have this knowledge, of course it means that if we really recognize the dangers, then hopefully we will do and take the proper measures to avoid all of the pitfalls. Because the responsibility of a person in this world is so great, right? And the risk of not being able to fulfill that achrayus and that responsibility makes the profit, the ultimate profit of Olam Haba, not worth being born just for that sake. Because the risks are much, much too large, too great. That's the idea. He used to say, Rav Kreisler, he pointed out that, in fact, that Rabbi Kiveger, of course, who was the Sara Torah, the Rabban Shekhov Bnei Agoyla, who was the Rav of his time, he was the Rav in the city of Poznan. And the Poznan at that time was considered to be one of the most choshev, most the largest rabbinical positions around. And the Rabbi Kiveger, the great Rabbi Kiveger, he writes in a letter to his daughter, he says, Shomati, I heard, Shemutzahas Mishra Shel Shamis. I hear there's an opening somewhere of being a Shamis. Do me a favor, get me the position. There's a letter that Kiveger wrote to his own daughter. Kiveger rather be a Shamis rather than be a Rov. And he meant it seriously. Why? Because he understood what the Achrayus is. He understood what the Achrayus is. And the Achrayus to him was frightening. To that extent, with his great anivus, his modesty, he thought that he's not capable of fulfilling that achrayus. That means the understanding of how great the responsibilities are, not to take them lightly, not to underestimate them. Here, Kiveger knew what the achrayus is, but he was a great honor at the same time, not believing that he, in fact, is roi lekach. It's an interesting thing that we mentioned Rav Kreisler last week. He used to say many times, to say that when he was given drosh in the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, he used to live in Antwerp, so he used to say that being the yeshiva, he said, it's called on my name. He says, therefore, if it's on my name, because I feel a tremendous responsibility in achrayus for each and every bocher in the yeshiva, he says. If the bocher is not matzliach, I feel it's my responsibility. I take it very personal. And he says, because after 120 years, they're going to point out to me and say, hey, how come this bocher from your yeshiva was not matzliach? He says, and if I say that I lived out of town, did not live in Eretz Yisrael, but you had a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And if you had a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, then you're responsible for what happens there, he says, in that yeshiva. So, you know, it's Kiyidua that before Antwerp, he was Rosh Yeshiva in Chicago. So he mentioned, he said, that he had a tremendous, he felt being a Rosh Yeshiva was a tremendous achrayus, he says. So, why? Because in a yeshiva, you have many, many bochum with great talents, kishreinus, and the achrayus is to see that they grow up to be something, that they become something, maybe gedol l'tayr etake, according to their talents. And if he said, he used to say, if chas v'shalom, they don't emerge, right? they don't emerge to become Gedolei Taira, and the Yar Baal HaKishron, he felt responsible, he says. The Tviya, he said, the claim will be upon him. And therefore he says, I was Mishtadl very much. But he said that that Kufa, that time when I was a Rosh Yeshiva, he says, I was very jealous, he said, about a Rav, because I thought that the Rav doesn't have such an Achrayas. And he says, because why? What can you do already with Baal Batim, he says. With Bachram Bnei Taira, he says, there's Achrayas to do something with him. But what can you already do with the Baal Batim, he says. What are you going to do about a person who's already 40, 50, 60 years old already? What are you going to change it? What are you going to do with him? So then he became, he says, a Rav in Antwerp. Then I realized, he says, the Achrayas of a Rav is no less than a Rosh Yeshiva, he says. And then he says, I thought, oh, how great it is to be a Balbos, he says. Balbos, he says, has no Achrayas, he says. But now I realize, he says, that there's no person in this world that has no Achrayas, that has no responsibility. No matter what his station in life is, you have your own mission. You have come here for a reason. You have come here for a purpose. And of course, the ultimate purpose is, which is to be an Oved Hashem with your koiches, with your powers, and with your talents. And that's the avodah. That's the avodah of a person. So we continue off here with the Ramchal, where we stopped last week. And that was where V'chachomim Zechoyna Levrocha. That's in Perek Gimel. That's already more than the second half. Down. The Ramchal goes on to say as follows. He says, V'chachomim Zechoyna Levrocha. Hoirunu. That's a continuation of what Ramchal was driving and hammering over and over again. The importance of keeping cheshbon, a person being misbein, and a person calculating his ways, taking stock of his ways, continuously. So he says, Chazal really have told us about this, b'perish erech cheshbon, the idea of what it means to keep cheshbon. So they have told us, as we find, v'hu mashomru zechoyin l'vrocha. Chazal have said this on a very well-known posuk, the Gemara in Bava Basra. Posuk says, Alkein yoimru ha-moishlim boyu cheshbon. Which means is to say that Alkein Yoimru HaMoshlim means the people who are involved with Misholim, the allegorists, the people who are involved with parables, the allegories, that would say, come to Cheshbon. Come to Cheshbon. What was Cheshbon? Cheshbon, as we know, was a city of Amori. Sichon Melech Amori conquered it from Moav. Cheshbon used to be a city in Moav. And Sichon, the king of Amori, went to war with Moav, and he conquered Cheshbon. So, Alkein Yoimru HaMoishlim, he says, the Moishlim would say, Boyu Cheshbon, which means come to Cheshbon, and they would explain it to mean in a totally different way, Al Derech Musar. When it says that come to Cheshbon, Chazal have explained it to mean in a totally different way. Just explained, this is going to be referred to of the strategy of how a Yid should find to map out a plan of how to deal with his Yetzer Hara. Yoimru HaMoishlim will be referring to those that are Moishl B'Yitzram, those who are able to rule over their Yetzer Hara. Instead of the interpretation of the word Moishlim means, right, allegory, the allegorists, people who are involved with Misholim, Moishlim means those that are ruling, who are capable of ruling over their Yetzer Hara. How do they do that? Boyu Cheshbon, a play on words. Cheshbon was really a city in Amor, right, of Amori. But however, Boyu Cheshbon means live your life with Cheshbon, as will be explained in Ramchal from the Chazal. So we will see that the idea runs even closer to that. And that, in fact, is, you realize, because Cheshbon happened to be a city, as we mentioned, in Moab, but it was on the border. It was far from the center of the country. And being that it was way there by the border, it was like at the end of the kingdom. As a result, Melech Moav was sort of like mezalzel in it. In other words, he didn't think it important enough to worry about it. He didn't think that it's really important enough for you to protect it as such, because it's far, far away from the center. And therefore, it's far enough, we feel safe enough, without worrying too much about the city of Cheshbon. Ultimately, of course, what happened was not only did Melech Moav lose Cheshbon, but he lost most of his melucha. He lost most of his kingdom. The idea is that is the shit of the Yetzer Hara. The shit of the Yetzer Hara is that he tries first. He really tries to infiltrate on the border. Areas that you are insensitive to. Areas that you think are not important. And therefore you are not on guard. And you say, it's not so bad. You know, I'll let the Yetzer Hara also. We'll give him something. But the point is, as Chazal say, all he wants to do is get his foot into the door. Once he gets his foot into the door, right, and he comes in. And even then he comes in first as a guest. Once you allow him in as a guest, he turns into becoming the host, and you're becoming the guest. The Pesoif, he's the Balabais. He's the Hireyach, comes in as a guest, at the end he becomes the Balabais. And this is the idea. You have these simple, as the Rashi tells us in Ekev, She'odam Dosh Ba'kevav, these are the so-called small Averis that people are not worried about. You don't realize that these little Averis are going to lead you to the serious Averis. And the Moshele is the Cheshbon. The Cheshbon was conquered by Sichon from Moab because it was far, it was on the Gvul, it was on the border. He was not worried about it. And if you're mezalzel on the little things, ultimately you're going to lose the bigger things as well. So you can't be mezalzel on anything. You can't take anything for granted. And you have to be on guard and protect everything that you have. So this is the Nekuda now. So we go further now in the Ramchal. Chazal say, Al ken yoimru ha-moishlim bo yocheshbon. So the interpretation, Al ken yoimru ha-moishlim bi yitzvam. And therefore those who are able to rule over the Yetzer Hara, those that are able to rule over the Yetzer Hara, they say, Boyu v'nachshoiv, cheshbon is from Loshen cheshbon. Let us come v'nachshoiv cheshboinoi shel oilam. Let us come and evaluate the balance sheet of the world. Right? So cheshbon, which really means the city of cheshbon, but as, again, as an interpretation, as the play on words, it means to keep cheshbon. Let's take a look. It's important about you to keep a balance sheet. Boyu v'nachshoiv cheshboinoi shel oilam. What is the Loshen cheshboinoi shel oilam? What does it mean, the cheshbon of the world? So the simple pshat means is something that's very choshev. We call it, it's of world importance. Boy v'nachshav cheshbon nishal olam. Assess the values. Assess your values. Assess things that are important to you. What you stand to lose if you don't comply, and what you stand to gain on the other hand if you do. So cheshbon nishal olam is something that's very, very important. Or cheshbon nishal olam means the olam hanitzchi. Your nitzchi, your eternal world. Make a cheshbon in order to be able to arrive and to reach your eternal world. Cheshbon shel olam, but we'll see more than that from Rebbe Pian soon. What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to calculate? Hefzid mitzvah keneged zchara. The loss of the mitzvah versus its gain. Uzchara aveira keneged hefzedo. And also the gain of an aveira versus its loss. A person says he does an aveira. He allows himself to overindulge. And therefore, he indulges in worldly pleasures in a certain situation in a way that's forbidden. So on the one hand, he absorbs all of the great pleasure. That is the reward of the Aveira. But calculate the loss of that Aveira. What eternal damage this is going to do to you unless you rectify it. You can always do tshuva. You can always repent. It's always the door is open for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But let's always remember that. But as you go along in life, and you say to yourself, oh, how much pleasure this is going to give me. But also, think about the other side. What you're going to be losing on the other side. That's what we're talking about when we say the schar aveira. Yeah, the schar of the aveira, the profit that the aveira is going to give you. Or you're going to cut a deal, right? Which is not al pi yosher, which is not al pi derech haTorah, which is not appropriate, which is not honest. You say, oh, I can make a killing. Oh, but then the other side is, what are you going to lose? This again, negative seida. What is it going to do in the future world to you? And as he points out further, and he says, vizeh. He says, when Chazal are telling us to keep this type of a balance sheet, always think what you do. What are you going to gain if you do it? And what do you stand to lose? Right? What do you stand to lose? And the other side also, if you don't do it, well, how much do you stand to gain? By withstanding and withholding and overcoming your Yetzer Hara, the tremendous, tremendous gain that you stand to gain by that. So says Ramachal further, and he says, Vizeh, that this is so, ki oetze hamitis azois. The emes is the truthful advice, he says, that I'm giving you. Lo yuchlu loseis oiso. The truth is, this type of advice can only be given, he says, v'lo liros amito, and can only be truly appreciated. Elo oisom shekvar yotzu mitachas yad yitzrom umoshluboy. The truth is that in order to appreciate what I'm saying, to keep this type of a balance sheet, people who already have gone through it. People really have gone through it, and as a result, they themselves have control over their Yetzer Hara, and they rule over it. Because kimishu hu adayin chobush, because a person who is still, he says, imprisoned, he says, a person who is still, basically, he is a chobush. A chobush means someone who is imprisoned, that you see that the Lashon that he says, that he is a chobush b'masa yitzroi. A person who still is imprisoned, in the imprisonment, in the prison of his Yetzer Hara, Ein of Royois, he says, or Emes. his eyes will not be able to see the truth. He'll not be able to grasp this kind of a truth. Because the Yetzirah literally blinds his eyes. Like a person who walks in the darkness, with all type of obstacles before him, and yet he can't see them. So even he says, in the right way, to be able to make proper cheshbonos, you need to someone who really sees the truth. Because even in your mind, to interpret what's good, what's not good, we are self, we are negay b'davar. We cannot be objective all the time. Because being our inclination drives us in a certain area, therefore our inclination influences our thinking as well. As we already went through this, many times we come to what we believe logical conclusions, and it's only logical because we want this to be the truth. Which means that in our minds we already have the conclusion, now we want the proof to prove it. So we create proofs. We create all types of proofs in order to justify our actions, what we're doing. That's why you have to have someone who really is not imprisoned in his Yetzer Hara. Again, the Loshen was because the Yetzer Hara, he says, is Misames Einov. Yetzer Hara comes and blinds his eyes. So there's a number of Nekudas here that we have to take a look at. You see, again, Ramchal started out to say that a person should be Boi V'Nachshiv Cheshboi Nishalolim, that we should go and we should calculate. We should make a Cheshm. Cheshem is hefset mitzvah keneged tzchora, right? The loss against the gain, right? A loss against the gain. Sometimes the person says, "If I do this mitzvah, I'm going to lose in my material world." But then say to yourself, "But imagine how much you're going to gain in the spiritual world." That also means hefset mitzvah keneged tzchora. You might sometimes say to yourself, "Oh, if I do this mitzvah, look how much I stand to lose." But think about how much you stand to gain. You stand to gain much more on the other side, the shchar, which overrides many, many times the hefset. And he also talks about tzchar aveira keneged hefsedo. So in the area of mitzvahs, he says, keep your calculations, be mechashen, make sure that you understand what you stand to lose if you don't do a mitzvah, and also what you stand to lose if you do an aveira. Now these two areas, possibly, there's a sefer called Pikayin that says this also is consistent with what we learned last week from Ramchal. When Michal brought down, of course, you remember the Gemara says that now that we are created, in spite of the conclusion that it would have been best possibly that we have not been born, but now that we are, we cannot shirk our responsibilities. You know, you can't say, I didn't want to be born, so therefore, you know, I don't have any responsibilities. The fact is, you are born, you are here, and now there is a price that goes along with it. And the Gemara said, what was it? Two lishoinis. The Gemara said, one thing was Yemash Mesh B'maso, and Yefash Mesh B'maso. First it said Yefash Mesh B'maso, right? And then it said Yemash Mesh. Yefashfesh means the person should search his actions. Ramchal said that means to make sure that you are clear from Averis. Yefashfesh means check yourself out. Check yourself out to see that you are getting rid of your Averis. That's Yefashfesh. And what's Yemashmesh? Yemashmesh means to be able to check out, to be Mamashmesh, to feel out your mitzvahs. In other words, even your Maisim Toivim also have to be up to par. So Yefashfesh means to search out your Averis, get rid of your Averis, make sure that your life is free from sin. But that's not enough. Even in your career of doing mitzvahs, even your ma'asim tovim, they have to be your mashmish. They have to be felt out. And they have to be tested to see on what level your mitzvahs are. So it's very possible that these two cheshbonos that Ramchal says, hefsed mitzvah keneged tzchora, on the one hand, and then he says, tzchara aveira keneged hefsedo. In other words, concerning the achrayas that we have to be memashmish in our ma'asim tovim, that we should really feel out our ma'asim tovim, that means hefset mitzvah keneged tzchora. In other words, it's not enough if you don't do a mitzvah. It's not enough if you don't do a mitzvah. But even when you do a mitzvah, right, there's also a hefset mitzvah. You know, even when you're doing a mitzvah, you're losing out if you don't do the mitzvah properly. Hefset mitzvah keneged tzchora means even though you did the mitzvah, so there's schar for the mitzvah. But if you don't do it properly, then there's hefset mitzvah. That's how much did you lose out. You're doing it already. Why didn't you do it in a way that you could have gotten the full tchar? So that's the hefset mitzvah. By the way, this is a tzad that's mentioned also from the Imre Yosef and the Spinker Rebbe. The Spinker Rebbe interpreted hefset mitzvah keneged tchar, that after when I already did a mitzvah, I look back and say to myself, how deficient is my mitzvah? How up to par is my mitzvah? Could not have my mitzvah been a little bit more l'shem shemayim? Could it be with a little bit more kavanah? That's called hefzid mitzvah keneged tchara. That there's a tzad hefzid on the same side of the tchar. Yes, you get credit for what you did, right? But at the same time, how much did you lose out? You lost out. Maybe next time you should not lose out. That's what it means, hefzid mitzvah keneged tchara. This is going against mishmush, to check out your ma'asim tovim. Your ma'asim tovim should be felt out to see with the quality. That's what mishmush means. You're trying to feel some material, some schoire. Trying to feel out your mitzvahs. And then when he says, Schar Aveira keneged hefzedo, that's pishpush. That keneged pishpush in the ma'asim, to be boidik, to see if there's any ma'asim roim that you are doing. That's keneged the pishpush, which means simply to search out one's ma'asim, to see that they are free from ill behavior. That's what it means, Schar Aveira keneged hefzedo. So another thing also, interesting is, Ramchal is telling us that in fact, even to reach this madrega, this is already a level, that a person comes to a point where he's capable of accurately, if you will, checking out his hefzid, his balance sheet, you know, what's good and what's bad. Right? The true people who can do that are people who are not really imprisoned in the Yetzirah. In other words, you have to be already a step ahead to do that properly also. That's already a madrega to reach that. Because if you're not a Moshel of the Yetzirah, when a person does not really have control of his Yetzirah, then the Yetzirah blinds his eyes. What he thinks is good is really bad. And what he thinks is bad, it's hard trying to tell him it's bad, it's not right. Then he says it is good, and so on and so forth. He has his values confused simply because this is the way the HR is driving him to think. So if this is so, as the Ramchal is telling us, that in order to keep proper cheshbon, you have to do it, as he says, this is someone who is a Moshel B'Yitzray, so it's very appropriate, it's fitting the lashon again that we quoted, let's go and calculate that's plural. He should have said, Chazal should have said, you go ahead and think. But the answer is, you alone maybe are not capable of doing it. Go together with the Moishlim. Those that are about Moishlim, they can do it. So now, let's us do it together. Go together with those who are Bala Madrege, Hadishaychis with El Chayidim. And the Shaykh is the Doiv de Hashem, right? Confide in them, let them help you out in your career in Avodas Hashem. Together with them, you'll be able to accurately make a cheshbon, hefzid mitzvah, as he says, keneged tzchora, tzchara veira keneged hefzedo. That's the Lashon plural, possibly, boy v'nachshoiv. And I guess what is frightening is, if you notice the Lashon of the Ramchal, and what he says, you know, is very, very meduic. And again, he says the Lashon that he says over here, he talks about a person who is enslaved. If he is enslaved with his Yetzer Hara, let's remember again his Lashon. He says, Ki mishu adayin chobush b'masar yitzroi, someone who is imprisoned. I mean, you think about that phrase. Someone who does not have self-control is in prison. We all think we're living, you know, freedom, you know, your freedom. Yeah, you're free. You do whatever you want. You're not. You're enslaved to your instincts. There's no greater slave. People think that they're free, right? They do whatever they want. They don't realize they're far from being free. If you don't have a life of Torah, which gives you the frame of mind, which gives you the siyata d'shmaya, which elevates you to be able to live a life of kedusha, not to be forced to do things that you are driven to do, that is called freedom. And that's why the Ramchal uses lashon: a person who is adayin chavush b'masar yisrael, a person who is imprisoned. Was a prison. Because Baruch Hu created all of these instincts, as Rabbi Avigdor Miller points out many times, we have all of these instincts, right? But these instincts were created by Hashem to serve us. What happens that the tables are turned. Instead of the instincts serving us, we become enslaved by them. They control us. They rule over us. And we, in fact, are imprisoned. That's why, again, let's remember what the Ibn Ezra tells us. Why is the Nozir? The Nozer who is able of making a decision to separate himself from drinking wine, separating himself from worldly pleasures, right, is called a Nozer. Now, Nozer, right, literally translated means someone who separates himself. Nozer means to separate. But Ibn Ezra comes and says in Navu Pshat, Nozer from the Lashon is also from the root of Nazer, wearing a crown. Because who is the true king? The true king is not who rules over others. That's easy to do. But to rule over yourself, that is, he says, Hamelach Be'emes, the true king, who is worthy of wearing, he says, Keser Malchus Beroisho, he was worthy of wearing Nezer Lekim, to wear the crown. The crown of royalty is someone who is able to be a king over himself. If you can manage that, that is the biggest feat, that is the greatest achievement of all, to be able to rule over yourself. This, in fact, is again what Ramchal is saying. And by the way, that's a similar thing that Rabbi Pian tells us. It says, Akavi ibn Mahalal Eloimir, Akavi ibn Ahal says, Yishtakil b'shloisha dvorim, right? Observe the things, Yatobo, he says, Lidei Aveira, and that will prevent you from coming to an Aveira. He says, Dame Ayin Bosa, remember where you came from, where you come from. Right? We know where we come from. And then, Alon Atahoylech, where are you going to? You're going to, that's the caver. Right? When he's going to his grave, that's the ultimate. And then ultimately, you're going to have to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to have to give an accounting. If a person really keeps these three things in mind, says, Akavi ben Mahalalo is going to prevent you, right? But you notice the Loshon. Again, the Loshon of the mission is, it doesn't simply say you're not going to sin. It says, Viyato boy, he says, Liyedei Aveira. So you're not going to come to the hands of Aveira. What does it mean? Rabbi Lapian says, your main purpose in life is to be prevention. He says, before the Aveira gets you in his hands. Once the Aveira got you in his hands, you need more than these three things. The Yishtakel B'Shloisha Devarim, the Eitzah of observing these three things, is only before the Aveira, before the Yetzirah has you in his clutches. Once the Yetzirah has you and he imprisoned you, once you're in the prison of the Yetzirah's prison, he says, then you need a lot of Selatim Shema. You need more than that to be able to get out of it. To break jail, to break the Yetzirah, to break that inclination, he says. But Yishtakel B'Shloisha Devarim, he says, V'yatobo liyedei Aveira, before coming to the hands of the Aveira. That's the Nekuda. Not to be into the hands of the Aveira, said Rabbi Lapian. Because once the Aveira has you already in his hands, once the person has the addiction already on top of him, once he already is in it, whatever the area is in his life, the area of his addiction, the job is much more difficult. You can do it, you can manage it. A lot of work, extra work, a lot of tefillah, a lot of shatit d'shamaya. You must call to Kodesh Baruch Hu to help you if you genuinely want, and you do the right things. You'll be able to be maslich as well, but that makes the task all the more difficult. It's very interesting, just ironic, just to point out that the lotion that we see here, that the Ramchal is saying that the Yetzirah, as a matter of fact, right? The Yetzirah says blinds the person. A person who is in the prison of the Yetzirah doesn't even see the truth. He can't even identify many times what is really good for him, because he is driven by his own interests, by self-interest, causes him to define what's in fact not good for him, that it's good for him. So the Torah blinds him. We know, right, we know, what is the name, Rabbi Yisai, what is the name of the Satan, what is the name? Samach Mem Aleph Lamed, right? The Samach Mem, that's the Satan. Samach Mem means Mesames Anayim. He blinds you. That's the essence. The essence of the name of the Satan, Samach Mem, is Misame. He blinds you. That is what he does. He blinds the person. So the point is, he gives you the example that the person becomes blinded to the point where he's like walking in the darkness, where there's so many pitfalls, he just can't see him. And so in your spiritual life, you're blinded and you don't really see the dangers that lie before you. So it continues now the Ramchal, and he says further, in fact, this is what Chazal have told us. Masha Omer Zechoyen Lebrocha, this is in fact what Chazal have told us. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, on the Pasuk in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, Toshes Choshech Vihi Loilo. That's in Baruch Inapshi. Toshes Choshech Vihi Loilo. David HaMelech says, you form darkness and it's night. So again comes Chazal and they say that this is, again, this is a moshul. This is an allegory. You know what the night is? You know what the darkness is? That's this world. Olam hazeh. This world is the world of darkness. Because you don't see truth. So Chazal interpret this to mean to this world, which is similar to night. Says the Ramchal, the Hodein, he says, understand, he says, grasp kamoniflo hamamar ho'amiti hazeh. Understand how special, how extraordinary this statement is. Let this sink in. Realize that this world, imagine if you're blinding, or you're driving blindfolded. This is what's happening. You're going through the highway of life without recognizing what's before you. This is driving blindfolded. So someone who really endeavors to try to understand it. It's not stam gezuk. Chazal are telling us that Olam Hazeh is doima talaylo. And now he goes on, Ramchal tries to explain to you in the many ways how this world is similar to darkness. Think about a life of darkness and then apply it again to this world. And he goes on. Because he says, Kehine, he says, HaKoshech HaLailo, because regarding Koshech, the darkness of the night, when someone finds himself in darkness of night, Shnei Mine Tu'uyois Epshaloi Sheyigroim Le'ein Hodo. Darkness of night can basically lead a person to two types of errors, to two types of mistakes, of judgment, he says. Either, he says, O Yechases O'ayin, one thing it can do is simply, you can't see. Right? That's very quite simple. If you're going through a road of darkness, you're going through an area, an alley that's dark, imagine that you have blindfolds. Very simply, you can't see. It covers the eye. Actually, here in the phone of Klal. That's one type of Indian. The individual will not be able to see what's before him. What might even be worse than not seeing what's before you, you see something, but because of the darkness, you think you're seeing one thing, and in fact, you're seeing something else that could be very dangerous. Because you think that you're seeing something that's good for you. As a matter of fact, you might be seeing something, as he points out, which is very dangerous. The second error that darkness can lead, in addition to the first, which means you may not see anything at all, assuming that's pitch dark, but sometimes you may be seeing something, but you'll be deceived. Deception is even worse. If you don't see something, you don't see anything. So I don't see. So now I know I don't see. You know you don't see. So you understand that there's some responsibility on you. You have to be careful if you don't see, obviously. So you're going to take very small baby steps and be careful. But when you think that you see, and in reality you're seeing the wrong thing, that's very dangerous. Because you think you're seeing. And that's another pitfall that darkness can cause. As he points out, Sheyato Isoi, the darkness in fact will deceive the person. Ad Sheyeroeloi Amud Kilu Huodom. He'll see a pillar and it appears to him to be a man. Or Vodom Kilu Amud. Or he'll see a person and he thinks it's a pillar. So it might be, who knows, it might be a very dangerous person. But he sees a pillar. He's not afraid of a pillar. It's a piece of wood. On the other hand, it's really a person. But he thinks he's seeing a pillar. He has no idea that, in fact, there is somebody out there who may be even lurking against him or to do some harm or whatever the situation might be. So that's the second case. That's the second error that one is apt to make in a state of darkness. One worse than the other. So going back now to the Nimshul, going back now to the comparison, if Olam Hazeh, if this world is in fact like Laila, like Choshech, like darkness and like night. So take a look again, these two aspects of error that actually take place in actual darkness also takes place through one's career, one's life in this world. Cain says Ramchal, Chumriyis Vigashmiyis Olam Hazeh. This materialistic world, all of the materialistic world, that Olam Hazeh, which is made of, this is the ingredients of this world. The materialism of this world is really darkness to the eye of the intellect. To the eye of the intellect, this is darkness. As far as your intellect is concerned, it's darkness. Why? Because the goyim lo shtei to'uyos. Because it will cause you two types of error. Number one, like as we said before, the first case is, the first type of an error is, Einu maniach loy sheyire hamichshoy loy shebedarke oylom. It prevents the individual from seeing the obstacles that are standing in the pathway of the world. And as a result, you find hapsoyim, you find the foolish people, holchem lebetach. You see foolish people walking around the world, unafraid. You say they're brave. They're afraid. They're foolish. Right? Some people, that are going to areas or certain territories that might be dangerous. You shouldn't be going there. He goes, he's brave. Not brave. Another possibility is he doesn't recognize the danger. He doesn't understand that it's dangerous. If you're not either told or you're not educated, if you don't realize this is a dangerous place, going there doesn't make you brave. It's foolish. You don't understand what you're doing. So you have many people doing all kinds of things in their life, and they're not afraid. This is because they are foolish. They don't understand. So this is what he means. It's because of the darkness that they're living in, they don't recognize the mechshoilas. They don't recognize the dangers. The noiflim, and as a result, ultimately they will stumble, they will fall. They walk confidently, no worry in the world. But in fact, ultimately the noiflim, the oivdim, they fall and they perish, without even realizing we're having any awareness of fear to begin with. They were not aware of it. That's the darkness of Olam Hazeh, not letting you see what's going on. And in fact, this is what Shlomo HaMelech says. Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishle, he's describing exactly this type of a road. He says, Derech Rishoyim, he says, Klafela. He says, the path of the Rishoyim, of the wicked people, is like darkness. Lo yodu bameh yikoshelu. They don't know on what they stumble. They don't know. And Avi Omar, and he further says, right, in Perek Chobeis, in a different chapter, he says, Orum roro. He says, on the other hand, the intellectual person, the clever person, the smart person, he does see wrongdoing. And as a result, in Istar, he conceals himself. But Upsoyim, but the foolish people, Avru, right, they commit their sins, then in Oshu, and ultimately they're punished. Ve'yomer, and he further says in Mishle, Uksil misaber, and again, in the foolish person, he's filled with iniquities, with Averis, says Ubeteach, and still he feels secure. Why? Because he doesn't understand. Doesn't recognize. Doesn't understand what he's doing. Kilibam bari lahem ke'ulam, because their life, right, is filled, right, with security. They're secure as a ulam. Ulam is like a strong structure, like a strong building. That's how they feel. Confident. The noiflim, and as a result, they will fall. Terem yodu, without even knowing mahamichshul klal, without even knowing b'klal, that there was an obstacle in their way. So that is the first example, going through Olam Hazeh, going through this world, going through this life. That is because we don't even realize what we're doing. Don't realize that we're damaging. We're doing things that are so negative to our metzias in this world. But that's the first part of it, in the darkness. But the second was even worse, not only not seeing, but being deceived. But being deceived, he says, Vatoris Asheni. But in fact, he says the second error in our spiritual life through Olam Hazeh. Vukashim and Rishin, that's greater than the first. The second error that darkness can bring about a person, which is worse than the first one. Hushimati Riyoson. What it does is it distorts your perception at Shiroi Mora, that people see things that are evil, ki iluhu mamish toiv. And we know, throughout the history of the world, in every generation, there are people who are basically evil people. But in their convoluted way of thinking, they believe that what they're doing is not only good, even admirable. Distorted. Foolish. This is being deceived. Being blinded. They see the ra, they see the evil of its mamish toiv, if it's mamish good. And vatoiv, and the other way, things that are really good, kilu hura. They see it as if it were harmful. And being that they have this way of thinking, they have no need to feel to repent. Why should I repent? if I believe that the evil is good, why should I repent? And therefore they keep strengthening themselves and they keep just reinforcing, says, their evil deeds. Matter of fact, by the very, very first major confrontation, right, between the forces of Kedusha and the forces of evil was Vayovik Ishima Daloisa Shachar. Yaakovinu with the Sar Shal Esav, which is the source, right? Which is the source of evil, the source of Ra. Yaakovinu, which represents the side of Kedusha. So they have this wrestling match, if you will. Vayovik and Shimon, they have this confrontation, the tension between Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov Avinu sees them at a distance, already coming. And the Gemara Chum comes and tells us two opinions. Who did he at first see? He didn't know this is the Sar Shal Esav. So when he saw him from a distance, who did he see? So Chad Omer once says, Ka'akum Nidmaloi. What he saw was someone, so to speak, like non-Jewish, someone who is an idol worshipper. Someone who's an idol worshipper. That's what he saw him. The Chad Omer, in the other opinion, said, Ketalmud Chokom Nidmaloi. Look at the differences of opinion. Yaakovinu sees the Sar Shal Esav, he thinks this is a Talmud Chokom. Talmud Chokom? And what's the other opinion? Ka'akum Nidmaloi. And the Avnei Zeh points out and says, as a matter of fact, these are the different uniforms that the Yetzer Hara. It's always sometimes he comes to you trying to tell you to do an aveira outright, trying to ask you to sin, and trying to entice you to sin and do all the kind of situations. So that's one way. He's going to flare up your instincts and so on and so forth. He knows your weaknesses exactly, and he's going to work on those weaknesses, and he's going to tempt you. Worse than that is, he comes to the Talmud Chacham, he makes you think that you're doing good. A person, at least, when he does something wrong, he can't hold himself back. You got to give him credit. At least if he recognizes that what he's doing is bad, but he knows he can't do it, because hopefully next time he'll be able to strengthen himself. Hopefully he'll work on himself. But he's able to recognize at least what's good and what's bad. Well, what can he do? He was tempted to that extent that at that point he was too weak. So you know what? You pick up the pieces, you get up, and next time you're going to correct it. You're going to correct it and make sure that you don't do it again. Or even you fall a second time, even you fall a third time. It's not over yet. It's not over. As long as you still are on this earth, you can rectify whatever you have done. Okay, you won't recognize that. But worse is when ketamet chokom did maloi. The sultan comes like ketamet chokom. He's making you think that you're serving Hashem, that what you can do here, this is a great thing. You're making a tremendous contribution to the world. And in essence, to the core, it's rotten to the core. But that's another picture of the Yitzhar Shel Esav. That's ka'akum nidmaloi. When the Yitzhar at least comes to you like an akum, at least you know, you recognize the enemy, at least you're able to protect yourself if you want to. But if he comes like a Talmud Chacham, then you're totally off guard. You don't recognize. He blinded your eye. That's the most difficult. That's very, very difficult to say. And therefore, there is a pshat which was said by three. The pshat was said by three. Starts by the Kedushas Levi. Then the same pshat, independently, also said by the Ksav Sefer. And then also said by the Beis HaLevi. All three say the same thing. Not one mentioning the other. Each one said it on by themselves. Yaakov Avinu, before, but he knows he has to confront Esav, the Parshas Vayishlach. He's going with his family. What is he saying? Hatzileini no miyad ochi miyad Esav. He says, please Hashem, he's being mispalel, right? He's davening to Hashem, save me from my brother and from Esav. Why does he have to say my brother? Esav is his brother, sure. Hatzileini no miyad Esav. Why is he saying? From my brother, from Esav. Why do you have to say my brother? Esav was his brother. He really knows that. He knew that. Hashem knows that. Why mention Esav as his brother? And the answer is because all three say, because Esav comes in two ways. He comes as an Esav Arosha. He comes armed. You know that there's going to be a war. So at least you know what? So you might try to match him. Rifle for rifle, tank for tank. You know what you're up against? You'll try to do it. You'll do your best. Figure out a way. You recognize the enemy. That's one way. What's worse is when Esav comes as your brother. He's not really your brother, but he's coming as a brother. Thereby you're taken in and you're off guard. Your defenses are down. You're not preparing to protect yourself. And then Esav just grabs you and has you and holds you. And ultimately you become assimilated. You become lost. And this has been true throughout Jewish history as well. Yidden have found themselves in different countries many, many times, right? We thank Hashem that we have a lot of freedom, right? But we also have to recognize sometimes the pitfalls and the side effects. The side effects is because many times that could lead to assimilation, because we blend in, the melting pot, as you call it. You have to realize that, of course, very, very loyal citizens, and of course, we don't break no laws, do the right thing. At the same time, there's a certain setback where we have to understand the Hamavdu ben Kodesh Bechoil ben Yisrael Amim at the same time. We have to recognize that we have, and we have to do what we have to do. We have our mission here in life at the same time. While at the same time, of course, we keep friendly neighbors and certainly don't antagonize anyone. So this is the idea. Hatzileini no miyad ochi, and also miyad Esav. These are the two aspects. And this is what Ramchal is saying. Esav comes in a way that we see the Ra. The darkness is so dark. It's dark in a way that we are deceived. We are deceived recognizing that which is bad, thinking that it is good. And as he says, not only, it's not enough. This situation, he says, it goes even further. People sometimes are so deceived that as much as you try to convince them, they don't want to hear. It's like someone said, you know, I've made up my mind, don't confuse me with the facts. You know, this is the old saying. I made up my mind, right? This is the idea. People are so set in their ways, believing that what they're doing, this is the right way. He says, not only that they don't see the truth, he says, Leroy Sarash and Eged Peneyem, not only that, but El Shenir Olehem Nimtzoy Rayis, right? Gedoylois and Nisyonis Mechichim Lisvarisayim Horoyos Olodeyisayim Akoizvois. But in fact, what they do, they think they can even find analytical proof, they think they can find concrete evidence to draw, right, support for their evil ideas, as he says, and to their deceitful opinions. And in fact, this is what the Pasuk is saying. Yeshaya Novi says, Hashmein Lev Ho'om Azeh. If people want to hear, I'm trying to tell them the truth. I'm trying to educate them. They don't want to hear. They think they know it already. They think they have the truth already. Hashmein Lev Ho'om Azeh, the Novi says that the heart of the people has become so fleshy. The Oznov Hagdeid, the Ein of Hosha, their ears have become heavy, and their eyes covered shut, literally. Why? Because they don't want to see. They don't want to see, because they're afraid that they might see the truth. It's like, to give you an example, sometimes people do that, which is also, it's a bad situation. Sometimes people have certain pain, right, certain parts of the body. They say to themselves, I'm not going to have it checked out, because they're afraid for the worst. So they think if they're not going to go to the doctor, it's going to become good again. So what they're doing is, what are they doing? They're fooling themselves. They don't want to see the truth, because if they don't see it, then the way that it is okay. They're afraid they're going to find out. So they better not know it. This is the way it is, and assuming that what I'm doing is fine. The whole that all of this is a result, again, says Ramchal, Mipnei HaYoisam Tachas HaChoshech. All is because they're living in darkness. I'm going back. Alkein Yoimra HaMoshlim. But those that, in fact, that already were privileged, right, to have left the prison of the Yetzer Hara. Sheyotzu, he says, Shekvayotzu min HaMasar HaZeh. Heim Roim Hoemes, they know the truth. La Mitoi, the Echoilim Leyoetz, and they can truthfully are capable of advising others, Shar Ben Yodam Olof, to give real advice to other people as well. So the kids, so the Ramchal is telling us, and we're going to stop here now. We'll get, next week we're going to finish up the last part to complete the Perek. Let me just tell you, Ramchal says that even the Cheshbon, Machazal is saying, Boy Venachshev, Cheshbon Nishalolim, that we should live a life of Cheshbon. That we in fact should live a life of cheshbon, make sure that in fact that the cheshbonis are correct, that you know what is right and what is wrong. Because you want to keep a balance sheet, you have to know which is on the right side, which is on the left side. Which you're going to put on the credit side, which you're going to put on the debit side. So let's take a look first of all at the sheet. Let's take a look. Moshe, you have one sheet? I don't have one with me. Yeah. Okay. Let's take a look, first of all, one thing. The first item we have here from Rabbi Lapian. Hamoishlim b'yitzram. Right? Hamoishlim b'yitzram. That people who are Moishlim b'yitzram, so he said to be Mechashiv, the way they live their lives is by keeping Cheshbon. By keeping Cheshbon, the loss of the mitzvah against its reward. So Rabbi Lapian says there's one more thing in the Cheshbon that goes into that Cheshbon. There's one more thing. Those people who are Moshel B'Yitzram are going to tell us, if we also want to be able to rule over our Yitzhara, it's not enough. In other words, if you're keeping a balance sheet only on your own actions, that may not even be enough. But rather what he's saying is what we said many, many times, your actions influences the entire world. You realize how far reaching your actions are. That, if you really think how heavy the burden of your actions, how far you achieve, what you accomplish, that may hit home. That may hit home, he says. Elagam nachshe, that's what it means, cheshboinoi shaloilom. This is how Rebbe Lapian explains. Boi venachshe, cheshboinoi shaloilom. Don't just make a cheshbon on your own balance sheet, but realize that you're massive in the world. If you're higher, you're raising the world with you. And if you fall, you're lowering the world. Boy v'nachshav, not cheshbonoi shel atzmoi, boy v'nachshav cheshbonoi shel oilom. Because you're the cause of it. You have influence in terms of how the world, as he points out, kloimer, lodat ki kol pe'ula shel odom. Amen shdavisin, you have to know, bein l'toiv v'bein l'mutav. He says, oysa roishim b'oilom. He says, it has an influence, it leaves an influence in the world. Imosiso mitzvah. When you do a mitzvah, atomatiris abron, you're purifying the air of the world. Imagine, you're in your house, the airless air. So where do you go? You take an air freshener, right? You start spraying. When you do a mitzvah, you are spraying spiritual air of purity in the world. That's what the Rav Pian is saying. Atka dekaf. This is the extent of it. When you do a mitzvah, you are actually purifying the world. You are spraying this fresh air, this Torah degeir, this pure air. You are being metayer, you're purifying this avir oilam, al yedezem is oirim gam acherim lasa ritzoyin avinu shebishmayim kamoicham. So when I do a mitzvah, somewhere there will be another person, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. There'll be other people themselves. For some reason they don't know. They were motivated to do a mitzvah. They don't realize. Possibly they were breathing in a little bit more pure spiritual air than it was before. Every time you do a mitzvah, the world becomes filled with a little more tahara, he says. And he says, V'chol ma'ashe ta'atzis ha-mitzvah z'bedigduk yoyzer. And the mitzvah itself, even when you're doing a mitzvah, if you're doing it more precise, with more precision, or b'leiv tomim, you're doing it with a completer heart, b'yoyzer ta'ashpia b'zeh alo lo'yzer. So the ashpah, the influence also is even more. So even how you do a mitzvah, that also is measured. When you do a mitzvah even in a higher way, a better way, then the influence is all that much more. That's how far it goes. The chen lehefech, but the flip side is also true. The chesh mitzchah mitzvah. He says, keneged hefseido, is boin and hodo, let a person think about this, v'yase gam chesh kilkul ha'oilam imoy. It's not just all about you. It's not just all about me. It's about the entire world. Whatever I do has influence over the entire world, for better or for worse. The person that absorbs that message, this will be a way that will motivate him to better his ways and to really think about the next move in a much more serious way. What we look at, a choshev mashgiach in Lomja was a yid by the name of Yankiv Naiman. He said something very interesting. He says about the ways of the Yetzer Hara. It's always very, very tricky. He had it many times. Very cunning, very smart. And he says as follows. Darkei shel Yetzer Hara, he says, Liptois es Odom. He says, the derech of the Yetzer Hara is Liptois es Odom, is in order to entice a person, he says, Besicha Noah. He has sort of like a good shmooze with him, Odom ha'olach shevi achad devarov. He's able to overpower you with his nice words, with his smooth talk. He said, we have to learn the strategy of war. It's a study how to deal with the Yetzer Hara. We have to be careful from the Yetzer Hara, because it is the derech many times of the Yetzer Hara lohaniach. He says, it's the Odom Shiyat, the mitzvah ketana, the Yetzer Hara, you know, Yetzer Hara makes a cheshbon. It's kedai, you know, I'm going to let you do a little mitzvah. By letting you do this little mitzvah, then I'm going to be able to bring you to a big averus. The Yetzer Hara invests in you. He invests in you. He gives you a little mitzvah, and this is a risk for the Yetzer Hara, right? He's allowing you to do a mitzvah. This is the antithesis of the Yetzer Hara. No, it's kedai for him to allow you, maybe even to push you to do a little mitzvah, because from there he's going to lead you to do a very serious avera. As he points out, he says, "Pi kama v'kama, many, many times magnified, ma mitzvah shoso. Keder chatzayodim," he points out, like the hunters or the trappers. Shetzodim oifis, right? They wanted to trap birds. What do? They put food, the bait. They put food into the trap. So menichim b'toch hametzu demachol etzipayrim. They put the food. They noitim zois, right? And they don't do it b'toch kavon elidur glumzoyne seim. The reason they put food in the trap is not that they're worried. They want to feed the birds. The birds think that there's some nice man over here, right? This is a bird, right? From the perspective of a bird. Ah, look at this nice man. Look at all the food that he spread out for me. He doesn't realize that he's being trapped. That's the whole purpose, he says. Noistim mishalehem ketzasamachol, the purpose that the people, the hunter, gives some of the food, kideshia sigwa, dizereva godo, the end result, right, to achieve a great profit. Capture the bird. Kachi dero shalayetzahor, shenoistim lodom ad mitzvah. This is the bait. He throws you a little bit of mitzvah, dizay mevio elipoil bepacho averis. So he gives the famous moshul. Many of you must have heard this moshul. He says, "Moshul al zeh balamuser moshul." He says, the balamuser gave a very interesting moshul for that. Moshul, he says to a king. Imagine it was a king. Shekar alechad masorim, who called one of his ministers, v'tziv olof, and he told him very clearly. V'hizir, and he warned him. Shoylif shoyd begodav berabim bishum ponim be'oy. He told him, listen, whatever you do, look, you're a minister. You're a minister of my court. Whatever you do in public, never take your shirt off. All right? This is the decree of the king. King told him, never take your shirt off. Lachazman, after a while, this minister, right, this officer, That's how he meets another person, Bishuk, on the street. Romaloi, and this person accuses the officer, the minister, in public, he says, Lein koil, shegibinu. You know, you're a hunchback person, he says, and you have a tremendous hump on your back. So no, and so the minister denies it. He says, no, I don't have a hunchback. I'm not. Or my lawyer says, I'll give you $1,000 that you have a hunchback. So he figured, what's he got to lose here? He'll take off his shirt. Even though the king told him not to take off his shirt, but here clearly he's making $1,000 here. He's going to prove the guy wrong. What happens? He takes off his shirt, and sure enough, he doesn't have a hunchback. So the other person goes ahead and gives him $1,000. He comes back to the king and says to the king, look what happened to me today. And he tells him the story. Look, I made $1,000. The guy took off my shirt for 5 minutes. And the king cries out, you don't understand. That I had a bet was made with this particular person that under no circumstances will you ever take off a shirt. If he who take off your shirt, I'll give this person $1,000,000. The king said, a bet was for $1,000,000 that you won't take off the shirt. It was worth it for this person to lose $1,000 to make you take off the shirt, because now he made $1,000,000 on the other side. So your $1,000 that you made, right? So on the other hand, $1,000,000 was lost, he says. You don't know behind the scenes what's taking place. This is the way the Yetzer Hara works. Yetzer Hara gives a person, he says, allows him to do a little bit of mitzvahs, in order therefore to be able to be machshon, he says, for many, many chatoim. He says, the idea of the Yetzer Hara is not only to destroy your olam habo, he wants it to destroy also your olam hazeh. As he says, those people who sit, he says, sit in the bars and in the theaters. What happens when they go outside? They're back to their old boring life. The same thing again is, the next day they need the same fix all over again. So what? No satisfaction. Nothing. Just again, to fill the tithe again, to fill the desires over and over again. They're just as hungry again when they're finished as they started from. There's no olam habo, there's no olam hazeh. This is why Chazal have told us, boyu v'nachshev cheshboinu shel olam. Think a little bit how you live your life. Think what's important in life. Realize how long do you have over here. Think about, weigh everything against the eternal life, against the olam habo, which is the eternal pleasure, which is the pleasure which is something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared, which is the unimaginable pleasure, to that reward. It's a big avoda, but at the end of the day, it's worth it, and this is what we're living for, and Bez Hashem, we should have the schus to be able to fulfill all of these things.